I want to just spend a few minutes before we close, because we're in a great series on resolving conflict, and I don't want to leave here this morning without showing you some great stuff, which will help many of you as you're in your small groups during the week. Let's pray before we keep going, okay? Let's ask the Lord to help us be teachable and learn some great things. Thank you for being such a great God and for a beautiful time so far. Feels like we're done in some way, but I want, Lord, I just pray that you'd give me just a few minutes to share some great news about your word, about what you want to do in our lives. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So imagine a scenario, very real scenario. Two guys, two men, one a homeowner, one a construction man, a home builder. The homeowner is very upset because there's structural damage. There are defects to the new house that was built by this builder. They were friends, and there were problems. And the homeowner kind of goes beret. He kind of gets out of shape, and he goes to the builder and accuses him of all these problems. And the builder completely denies having anything to do with it, completely denies that any of the problems were his fault, completely denies any part of his doing in the whole thing. Says, you're just making all that up. It got real bad. Lawyers were hired. We're talking a year of all that kind of litigation, mitigation, whatever kind of words you want to use. And it got expensive and timely. And even with all that year of in the courts, nothing was really settled. And these two men couldn't hate each other more than they did now. Let's add another piece into this. These two men not only knew each other, but these two men were believers. These two men knew Jesus Christ. It got really complicated. Someone encouraged them to seek out a Christian mediator, someone who would go in between and just sit with them and talk through it. Yeah, well, not quite ready for that prayer yet, but that's all right. It looked good. Oh, yeah, look at these angry guys. That's them right there. Really, it's them. It's who they were, yeah. So anyway, the mediator gets together. You can imagine that first meeting in this room, and these guys finally talking to each other for the first time in like over a year. The paint was peeling off the walls. It was so hot and angry, and you know, things were going crazy. At the end of this really loud, angry meeting, the mediator finally said, let's go home, and I want to give you an assignment. Your assignment is to pray tonight, and what you saw up there on the screen is what I want you to pray. He said, pray this, Lord, please open my eyes so I can see how I've contributed to the problem. And he let him go. Well, that night, the builder, the Lord was working on his heart. And the builder really, really was convicted. When the three met again, he asked to go first. And he humbly confessed. He itemized all the construction defects. He admitted they were all his fault, promised to move quickly to repair them. The homeowner was floored. He was so taken back by what was going on, he almost didn't know what to say for a while. But he said, you know what? Actually, this mess isn't completely your fault. He said, you know, if I hadn't been so obnoxious and so self-righteous and so accusing early on, probably wouldn't be where we're at today, thousands of dollars later and all that kind of stuff. This is actually more my fault than it is yours. Needless to say, the conflict got resolved quickly, and everyone was happy with the outcome. And it's a true story. God had done it again. It was one of those miracle kind of things. It was a fantastic story. If you've been around in the last few weeks, you know we've been talking about some of this stuff, about how hard it is to do relationships and how conflict is a natural part of many different kinds of relationships that we have. If you're in one of our 20 small groups, you're getting a feel that things are starting to get hot and heavy. We're really starting to get into some practical stuff about what it means to resolve. What makes a conflict, right? We're in pain. We're in pain when there's conflict. It's a hurt that's hard to describe because someone has done something wrong to us. That really is the heart of it. But as we learn how to resolve conflict in a biblical way, in a way that God wants relationships to happen, we realize that the first thing we need to do is to look ourselves in the mirror and start by admitting our own faults. Start by seeing our part in it. We won't begin to find peace until we ask ourselves this tough question. What would happen? How can I own up? How can I own up to my part in the conflict? Now, if someone's upset with me, if someone's in conflict with me, or if I'm in conflict with someone else, it's really easy to get angry and defensive. Am I right? Is you agreeing with me? It's easy to get that natural anger and defensiveness. It's no problem for me to come up with pages of accusations and problems with that person. I can just go on and on and on of the person's problems and their faults and why I'm mad at them. But I have a hard time on the other side of that ledger thinking of anything about me. That's, wow, me? Innocent me? What are you talking about? But see, over the years, I'm starting to learn that there's this discipline that God's starting to teach me, a discipline of resisting that defensive attacking position with someone when I'm in a conflict. But instead, I proactively do like self-examination. I proactively start to examine myself saying, did I have anything to do with this conflict? Did I have anything to do with this? And despite the pain, despite the unfair accusations, despite the misunderstandings by that other person, right? I am learning to first take a step back, think about my role in the whole mess. This has been really very real to me a number of times, but it never was more real than a year and a half ago. I got permission to talk about this. I'm not going to mention names, but a year and a half ago, I was in pretty serious conflict with one of our wonderful people here at the Two Rivers Church. And this person was really upset, was questioning a lot of things that were going on, ready to leave the church. But more than that, this person was hurt and felt that I had abandoned him and abandoned friendship and relationship. There were lots of problems. There were lots of issues, no doubt about it. And there were some unfair accusations put on me. There were some unfair attacks. It was going real bad. And it really had hit a high point of really intense stuff until I finally stepped back and I realized my part in the conflict. That was really hard for me to do. It was really hard. I realized for the first time just how much I had hurt this person. And I had never realized it before. And even though I didn't start the conflict, not claiming full responsibility here, right? I'm not trying to be the victim or the doormat, but I just acknowledge, you know what, I have a part in this, and I need to do something about it. And I confessed my sin to this person and to some others there present, and suddenly, the most amazing thing happened. Everything changed. Everything changed. And that relationship with that person has never been better. And it was a miracle. It was a miracle. Those who were in that room would profess to that. It was a miracle what happened. It was the coolest God thing I'd experienced in a long time. And there's something important here for you guys. Just as we think for a few minutes, this is really important for you. You need to uncover what God really wants to teach you about a biblical approach, a biblical way to resolve your conflicts. Last week, we shared the first G. Jeff Warren shared with us. Anybody remember what it was in your groups? To go to higher ground, right? Or to glorify God, the first G. The second G is this week's. Let's talk about glorify God for a second. We talked about a lot of things, right? It's an important place to start. We start with God because we want to let God be actively involved in our relationships because it's not just horizontal. We want to let the vertical part of our relationship with God be a part of our regular earthly relationships, right? And we want God to be involved in our lives, even in our conflicts. We want God to be involved. And so now we get to the second G, which is get real. Get real. Get real about yourself. Three really clear steps I want you to follow. You can look at the back of the bulletin if you want, if that would help you. Step one is simply to ask yourself what I've already asked, what that prayer asked between the homeowner and the worker. How can I own up to my part of the conflict? Step number one, how can I own up to my part? Have you ever heard that saying, hey, be careful when you point your fingers at somebody because there's... Yeah, you all know that one, right? There's three pointing back at you. That's kind of what Jesus said in Matthew 7. A little different take on it, but the same idea. Are you ready? This is the coolest thing. Jesus talks to his people, and he's talking in Matthew 7. He helps us answer this question, how can I own up to my part of the conflict? Here it is up on the screen. You can also look on your Bibles. Matthew 7, 3-5. Why? Yeah, look at this guy. Okay, this will help you. Why do you worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't even see past the log in your own eye? Jesus says, hypocrite. Hypocrite. First get rid of the log in your own eye, then you'll see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Amen. God be with you. Let's go home. I mean, that's it right there. That's all. If you figure that out, we're done. You figure that out, we're done. That's amazing. What wisdom. What wisdom by Jesus. It blows me away. You can't help but smile at Jesus' humor. If you guys think for a second he didn't have a smile on his face when he was saying this, you don't know my Jesus. He was laughing inside the whole time if he wasn't laughing outwardly, because he's talking about this. In the seriousness of this subject, he's deliberately being funny. He is deliberately exaggerating this incredible, obnoxious thing of to make a radical point. It's pretty easy to picture someone with a log coming out of their eye who's trying to dab a speck of sawdust out of someone else's eye. And the first person's a hypocrite for trying to correct somebody else. Here's a little comic that is silly, but you get the eye. I mean, I love that when I saw that. Are you aware of how ridiculous you look with that speck in your eye? Let me get that out for you. Just another take on it. It's kind of like me telling LaMarcus Aldridge how to shoot a basket. It's kind of like me giving dieting advice to somebody. You know, I mean, you know, there's just, it's silly to think, you know, we think we're experts. We think we're in charge. We think we know what's really going on, and we want to fix somebody else. We want to fix the person that's really to blame for the conflict that we're in. When Jesus tells us to examine ourselves first, he doesn't mean that our sins are necessarily bigger or worse than others. He's not saying we're to blame. He's not telling us, again, we're not supposed to be the victim or the automatic loser. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, but our sins, our faults, our responsibility, they are under our control. You catch that? The things that is our responsibility, that's our control. So we have to own our sins and our faults. They're the first things that we need to self-examine and to correct when we face conflict. As Christ followers, our primary focus needs to be on our own stuff and not the stuff of other people. It's critical for us to go on a log hunt. Okay? It's time to go on log hunts. Did I contribute or provoke that offense in any way? Whatever conflict you're thinking of, whether it be at work or family, relationships, whatever. What did I do to poke and to prod and make that person angry with me? What was my part in making the situation worse? Many of you have heard me quote this important phrase. I say it a lot to people who are married and are struggling in their marriage. I say it a lot. In fact, some of you might be able to finish this quote. You can't change your spouse. You can only change... It just came natural for some of you because I've said it so much. And you hate it when I say it to you. There's not one person that likes hearing that quote because it's hard, but it's absolutely true. You cannot change your spouse. You can only change yourself. You cannot change any relationship that you're part of. You can't change that other person. You can't. You cannot change them. You can only change yourself. They're not fun to hear, but they're absolutely true. And if we're quick to recognize and focus on the faults of a spouse or anybody else, how can we ever, ever discover our role in the conflict? If only my wife did this. If only she wouldn't do that. If only my husband would stop doing that. You know, it's almost always our first thought to accuse and to attack because it's our human nature to do that. We think the other person's the main problem. My relationship with my mom would be so much better if only she'd stop nagging me. My life would be so much happier if only he would talk with me. They may be true statements. They may be absolutely true. And yes, people do have problems to work on, but you can't control that. Thank the Lord you don't have to. Take a breather, you know, wipe the sweat off your brow and say, phew, I don't have to worry about all these other people's faults. I get to just work on I can change myself. You cannot control them. You can only change your part in the relationship. God wants us to look at ourselves and how we're behaving and deal with our issues before we play the blame game. with that other person. Get the log out of your own eye, and then you can think about the speck of sawdust in the other person's. Isn't that great? Isn't that, does that make sense? I hope it does to you. Very few of us have really figured this out. I'm not standing here as judge, but just observer. Very, very few of us have figured this out in a really lasting, victorious way. It's an important habit of owning up to our own wrongs. It's not easy to self-examine your own faults, but if you'll be honest, if you look back over the mounds of broken relationships in your life, I'm sorry to maybe walk backwards with you a little bit, all the hurts, all the things, all the lost jobs, all the conflicts, all the anger things, if you went on that walk into your past, maybe you had a part in some of that. Not all of it, but what was your part? That's the question. What was your part? Can you learn how to own up to your own wrongs? Second thing, we need to ask God to help us. Go through this just really quickly. It's one of those duh things, statements. But you want to hear something really cool about God? He really does love you. And he already knows all your shortcomings. He already knows all your problems. He just wants to be a part of that. And he actually wants to help you with this process. Look at Psalm 139:23. There it is right there. Psalm 139:23 and 24. David cries out in a prayer, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you." Or we could maybe put in these words, "Point out anything that would offend somebody else. And then, Lord, lead me along the path of everlasting life." What a great prayer. Search me. Ask for God to help you see your shortcomings. It's a tough habit to develop, but it's so important for us to do that. You've learned in your past, just like I have, we have learned to not trust people. We've learned how to survive by putting up that wall that says, "Don't trust, don't do this, don't do this." We've learned to do that, and God is asking us to break those barriers down. Lord, search me. Know my heart. Search me. Help me to know how I can be a part of the solution rather than the problem. Take a deep breath, would you all, real quick? Anybody feeling a little tense, a little nervous? Psalm 139 tells us that God already knows your heart. He knows your deepest thoughts and feelings. He sees you at your worst, and he still loves you. So maybe, just maybe, you can drop your defense mechanisms. Maybe, just maybe, you can drop all the accusations, and you can just be vulnerable in your relationships by first being honest with yourself. In that first story, you know, the builder and the homeowner, the builder was convicted by God that he had done a lousy job in that construction of the home. He was in the wrong. The homeowner didn't cause the problem, but he sure made it worse by the anger and all the obnoxious stuff that was going on, almost forcing the builder to deny anything, right? But the mediator gave them that assignment, that prayer, "Lord, please open my eyes so I can see how I've contributed to the problem." And so here's that life principle for every single one of you to grapple with. Own up to your part of the conflict. Ask God to help you see your shortcomings. See, I don't know about you. This is what I do. I measure up my conflicts like I put them on a big scale. You know, one of those scales that have, you know, that you, the old-fashioned scales that had two sides. And here's what I usually do. If I'm in a conflict, I look to see who's more responsible for the problems, right? And I look and see, oh, okay, I'll fess up to my 20% of the problem, but look at over here. Here's 80%. These guys are way more guilty than I am. Let's deal with this stuff. Let's talk about this for a second, right? I mean, why are you guys asking me to deal with my 20%? Look at that 80% over there. Is anybody else use the fairness scale in your life? We do it all the time, don't we? We do it all the time. And here's the rub. Here's the rub. Jesus is asking us to deal with our part, our 20%. What if it's only 2%? Jesus says, deal with your 2%. Get the log out of your own eye. Here's a great quote. Look at this. If I'm only 2% responsible for a conflict, I'm 100% responsible for that 2%. That makes sense? Even if it's just that tiniest bit and the scale's way out of balance, I'm still responsible for that little part. If you desire to be a peacemaker rather than a troublemaker, learn to take responsibility for your part of the conflict. Let God be in the revenge business. Man, just let God do all that stuff. You know, we don't need to worry about it. Let God settle the score. Let God deal with the unfairness that you can't control anyway. Again, what can you control? It's your part. You can control your feelings. You can control your shortcomings. Sorry, that's all you can really control. It's really all you can do. You can lecture and yell all you want at people, but they won't change unless they're ready to change themselves. You can only own up to your part, all right? So how do you take responsibility? Let's close this up. Step three, I got to ask you to do something. Step three says this: you get to confess your fault to the person that you've offended. You ready to get down and dirty? This is where it gets really hard. See, even if it's just 2% of the problem, you're responsible to not only own up to your fault, but to ask, God asks you to confess to that person that you've hurt. And I can tell you from personal experience that it's really hard to do when you feel so hurt by them, right? Really tough stuff, but it's the right thing to do. And God will honor your obedience by restoring many relationships. You guys, if you can practice this stuff, you're going to see a huge change happen in your relationships. Conflict is going to become less and less a reality. When I own up to my part in the conflict, usually that disarms the problem. Usually it opens up the communication so that the conflict can be reconciled in a godly, biblical way. But I have to take that first step often. If I'm sitting back and just waiting for that other person to come to me, good luck with that. Especially if God's saying, hello, hello, look at the log, look at the log, look at the log, look at the log. Deal with this, deal with this. My part is not to demand my rights or to correct the other person. My part, first and foremost, is to get the log out of my eye. Look at James 5:16. What a great verse. Confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. I wish I had time to dissect this, because this is not just talking about confessing sins. It's also talking about effective prayer. This James is insinuating here that our prayers may not be, can we assume the opposite? Our prayers may not be effective if we are not willing to open up and confess to each other. Interesting. There's just no way around it. Guys, if you love Jesus, then you need to trust and listen to his words, wise words. And he tells you to get the log out of your eye before you get that sawdust speck out of the other person's eye. Simple question: are you willing to do that? Are you willing to try? Are you willing to ask God to help you in that? I got some homework for you. I got some homework for you. You're going to get it in your group as well, but I want you to think of a difficult relationship that you're currently involved in. I want you to think about what's wrong with that relationship, and then use this verse about getting the log out of your eye. Use that as a template over that relationship. You put that like over that whole problem, and go through these three steps. Own up to your part, ask God to help you, show your part in the conflict, and then be willing to confess your part, your fault to that person. Don't be judge and jury. The results are not up to you. Whatever happens, but would you be willing to try to resolve the conflict that you're experiencing by using these principles? Can I pray for you? As we work on this, let's stand together and let's pray. Just as powerful and exciting, Lord, it was just to worship you this morning and to see our friends getting baptized, that you're the same God who tells us now to look ourselves straight in the mirror. You're the same God who's saying, get the log out of your eye. You're that same God. And you don't want us to leave here with just a buzz or just a good feeling. You really want to work in our lives and our hearts. And so I pray, Lord, that you would confirm to people that these words and these concepts are first and foremost from you, and that they're true, and they'll work. Would you show us, Lord, a broken relationship that you'd like us to practice these principles on? Lord, would you help us, because we're pretty weak. We've got lots of faults, but Lord, you are strong. Would you please help us? Thank you for what you're teaching us. Show us how to be a part of the solution in these conflicts. Thank you so much for Jesus' words. In Jesus' name, amen. Go be God's representative this week. Be the church for him, would you? God bless.